Our guest is George Sun, head of global markets for Greater China at BNP Paribas. George, one way to look at it is a headline in the South China Morning Post that President Xi is looking to fresh faces to confront this new term. And so there are a number of security individuals in the sort of top seven ranking here, people with experience in science and technology and security, but not so much in the economy. I'm interested in your take on that, and I know you think not much will change, but it implies something, doesn't it?
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks, Brian. There are four gentlemen who were in charge of the economic policy during the last 5 years who are moving on. They're retiring. So Li Keqiang, the premier, Liu He, the economic czar, Yi Gang, PBOC governor, and Guo Suqing, the banking regulator. So a new set of economic leaders are going to need to be rolled out in due course to implement President Xi's economic policies going forward. As you said, the top seven standing committee members of the Politburo are more from different regions, either Beijing, Guangdong, Shanghai, or from ideology or anti-corruption. So they're not; they have not been focused purely on the economy. What's interesting is that President Xi, during his speech at the beginning of the Congress, he focused on economic development as well as national security, whereas some people had been thinking maybe he would focus more on only national security. So he talked about a few things. He talked about promoting the real economy rather than the financial economy. Talked about making China a more powerful manufacturing, transportation, aerospace, internet, digital economy participant. He talked about self-sufficiency. I think he worries very – this is where the economy and national security come in. Self-sufficiency in terms of food, energy, natural resources.
Is that really possible, though? I mean, given China's reliance on the outside world.
More so than other regions. I think what you're not seeing in China is maybe what you're seeing in Europe right now, for example. You're not seeing the heavy reliance causing an energy crisis in Europe. In China, actually, it is getting energy from Russia and other areas of the world as well. But it actually... But what you're really seeing is not a supply problem in China. It's more of a demand problem, actually. You see consumer demand slowing down quite a lot. The GDP number wasn't released last week, but hopefully it'll be released later this week. It may show consumer confidence, consumer spending may have bottomed out, but this is where they really need the economy to pick up a bit. I think it was 5.4% growth last time last month for consumer spending, but they need that to pick up stronger for the economy to recover.
Very quickly, what do you expect that GDP number to be when we get it?
Good question. In the second quarter, it was basically flat. It was basically zero in the second quarter. Economists were expecting something over 3% for the third quarter, and we suspect it'll be somewhere in that area. But that brings the whole year looking like about 3% or even a little bit less. So at that rate, they're not going to reach what he targeted, actually. So they're going to need more stimulus.
And George, we were talking about Xi's economic agenda, and in a way, this really cements this idea of common prosperity, a redistribution of wealth in a more equitable way. So what does this mean for international investors as they look across the landscape in China?
Oh, that's a very good question, actually. I think there's going to have to be a balance for President Xi's administration between the common prosperity, but also his implicit economic growth that he's looking for. He actually reiterated the goal of raising the per capita income in China to that of a mid-tier advanced country by 2035. That means, if you do some math, that means China's GDP has to grow somewhere around 4.7 or even 5% a year from now until 2035. So they're going to have to put some stimulus in place next year, but they're going to have to develop some areas that satisfy both the economic growth and the common prosperity. So what are some areas that this could be satisfied? I think he's going to focus on things like modernizing the medical industry, so medical devices. I think you're going to see financial support. There was recently a 1.7 trillion renminbi discount loans made to the medical industry, including modernizing equipment like ventilators, ECG, defibrillators, CT scans, things like that. You're also going to see a big focus on renewable energies that satisfies the common people by providing EV vehicles and batteries, but also it allows China to try to become one of the top producers and consumers of EV and renewable energy around the world.
So what critics would say is that we're approaching this notion of one-man rule, and that people would be worried that nobody would tell Xi if he's heading in the wrong direction. So that sounds like a political question, but let's look at it from an investing standpoint. Does it raise the risk of investing in China, and if so, in what way?
I think you could view it this way, perhaps. This third term for President Xi will be a continuation of his policies that he's already put into place. He's already talked about common prosperity. He talked about the property sector. So if you use that as an example, yes, indeed, both the bond and equity investors in the property sector have suffered, actually, because prices have fallen. But if you look at it from a more national perspective, I think it feels like the government is trying to nationalize or make the property sector a utility so that there'll be more affordable housing for the masses. So that doesn't necessarily mean the financial markets will perform particularly well in those areas, but it does mean that the real economy, the real people will have something, will have an asset to live in. So I think you're going to have to start, we'll have to start thinking about which areas of the economy satisfy the policy going forward and could have a good performance in the financial markets. For example, technology. I think with the U.S. putting heavy restrictions now on semiconductors, whether it's chips or manufacturing equipment or even human capital going to China, China will have to grow their homegrown technology companies. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you look at since Biden announced this new semiconductor regulation a few weeks ago, China's Chinex Index, which is very heavy on homegrown tech companies, that's actually rallied since that announcement because they know that more investments will have to be poured into that mm-hmm. sector.
Well, President Xi now has absolute power, so surely he can fix the property crisis at a stroke now.
I think it doesn't mean necessarily mean fixing the property bond or equity prices. I think what might happen is there might be a requirement for the property developer tycoons to pledge more assets against their existing debt. The state-owned banks may start providing more funding, as we've seen, to finish the construction on these uncompleted but already purchased properties. And probably you'll see these big SOE property companies start buying up the assets of weak or bankrupt property developers.
I got to ask you briefly, the Nikkei is reporting that we've seen another intervention on the yen in Japan, and we did see that huge bounce for the yen. Is that sustainable? What happens next?
Yeah, I mean, out of all the central banks, I think up until the intervention late last week, BOJ was really the most silent of all the central banks. So I think they're going to defend that 150 mark, it looks like. And I think that you'll probably see that as a bit of a line in the sand. But whether that's sustainable for the long term, I think that depends on the economic growth prospects over in Japan.
All right. George Sun, Head of Global Markets, Greater China at BNP Paribas. Thanks so much for joining us.